Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 97.9. Ooh, I did it. First time this year.
Man.
Wow, and there's no cut.
Nope, that's forever.
That's forevermore. Wow. My apologies to our friends here at 93.3 Real Talk Radio.
Right. That tells you how comfortable you are right now.
Last Saturday harkened you back to winning seasons.
Oh, winning season, right. Yeah.
When you had a lot
of those
over there.
I can tell you exactly what just happened. I pulled up our Seminole Headlines page on Facebook, and it was housed for a long time.
We don't need your excuses.
I'm just letting you know.
I don't want to hear them. Don't need them.
And that's exactly what happened. And I looked at it and then went and then said it.
You know
and
what?
I blew it. Hey, that's my fault. That's on me. I got to be better.
I was going to say, you know what?
I got to be better. Just today, like Papuchas and special teams have got to be better. There's no excuses around here.
What I liked in today's interview is Cam McDonald was like, I got to be better on that block.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Can't let that happen.
You do,
again.
Cam. Right. I got to be better.
He didn't tell me that, no.
But that's not
well, he made a really weird move and I'd never seen it before. So really, it's just nothing I could do.
The difference is Cam has missed several blocks before. Oh, this is the first such mistake.
Now we're deflecting.
I'm just letting you know. It's not like. That comparison is completely
well, let's
fair.
We can only go up from here, right? The next hour, he'll do 1270.
Yeah. Oh, that would be rich. If our heart way back in the deep recesses of the brain there, yeah. And also on War Chant TV. That I got right.
Well done.
Yeah, that's correct. Important. And you can ask questions there and all that good stuff. So there it is. We're officially started. Register Sausage sponsors the hour, and we love them. I didn't get that
sponsors
wrong.
Sponsors the whole show. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, that's true. Not just the
title
hour.
Sponsor.
Yeah, I'm stuck at the old place today. I'm just I'm absolutely locked in. And our thanks to Register Sausage. Yay, sausage!
I tweeted Victory that, sausage.
I tweeted the picture, man. Look, I'm not saying it's all Seminole Headlines, but the other day I went into my Publix.
It's crazy.
When we first started
That was nuts. I saw that. I mean, it's not nuts. It's what they all should be doing.
But sausage for days.
When we first started, when Ben started advertising with us a little over a year
you
ago.
You might find a singular packet.
Not a great
By the checkout aisle, probably. Yeah. By the candies,
maybe. There's a single sausage.
Yeah.
Publix just was not having it, dude. It was like I've never seen so many sausage links.
Of just registered
sausage. Yeah, it was great. A huge shelf.
It's like taking over the whole.
So if you live anywhere in the Southeast, you don't have to worry about anything. You walk in anywhere, register sausage is everywhere.
And if they don't have it,
Florida.
The entire Southeast.
Oh, okay. I'm looking for them in Georgia. I hadn't quite seen them
pretty
yet.
Much there.
We're not saying violence is the answer, but you could. there's nonviolent ways to protest if you don't have registered sausage because it's delicious. It's the best sausage you can get. And
the andouille.
Oh, golden. And if you don't have it in your area, you can order it online at registermeats.com. Ben is a Knoll. It's a lot of Knolls work there, and we need to support Register Sausage.
Without question. First Seminole Headlines of the year after a win, boys.
With a dub.
Yeah.
With a capital dub.
We just can start
an
right
easy
there.
Dub, too. Like, no.
Oh, man.
No drama at all.
Who are we thanking over there, Corey? Who are we thanking to start the show? Come on now.
Kevin Saldana.
What's up, Kevin? What's up, Kevin?
K-Smooth.
Appreciate you.
He did want to know if the team is truly getting better.
I was wondering why you were double-checking.
Yeah, well, he asked the question.
Double-checking over there.
He wanted to know if the team is truly getting better.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not real sure. They are better in some areas.
They're better than they were last year. I don't know if they've improved much from week one to week five.
Well, I mean, they have improved in some areas. Penalties way down.
Way down.
Third and fourth downs better this past week.
This past weekend, for sure. Something to note here. A little catch-22 with the team. You know, this is the thing about that win is that it was arduous, and you saw all the ways that they can lose games and how they find ways to lose games, et cetera. It also reminded you that if they win games, that's how it's going to be. I mean, like, they're going to have to fight and kick and scream and claw and put – because they're just not good. I mean, they're really bad personnel. I mean, ass-sorry personnel. And they have to find a way to coach around it. And so it's, you know, for that reason, I'm like, that's a good win. Any win's going to be a really good win. Because you blew the one that was the easy win you should have had, right? That's bad coaching. They blew the Jacksonville State game.
Sure.
That's the one that you don't get forgiven for all that easily. But you could have won all those other games, as we've noted, aside from Wake. And even that, I would make an argument about some early things there. But that said, they're in these games, and man, they're having to get real imaginative. And so I just wonder, you know,
on that note, though, we've criticized coaching when it hasn't been good.
Yeah.
They've cost themselves in a couple of situations with some coaching decisions, the entire staff. That's a game that didn't really match up well for them. What Syracuse wanted to do defensively wasn't a great fit for what Florida State wants to do offensively.
Right, right.
And they had to do some things that were not what they probably want to do, but was kind of like a one game. It was a one-off.
And on the other side, it did match up for them. So it was interesting because I thought they were going to be looking in a mirror in a weird way. It was like Syracuse wants to run the ball. Florida State's run defense is good. You know, Florida State wants to do something on offense that they just simply can't block up, and not against that group. And so you're kind of like, well, quick game is going to have to be. Screens in quick game. Look, at the end of the day, they did – this is 2 weeks in a row. They had a game plan. It was evident what the game plan was, and they stuck to it. That's a good sign. It's a good sign. It's no more willy-nilly throwing it against the wall stuff. I do think that the one thing that we can continue to be hypercritical of, and that it just demands better coaching, they can't be this bad on special teams. I know it's been a story on WarChant.com. I know that, Corey, you wrote about it as well, and that, you know, Coach
Norvell. I was livid.
Well, Coach Norvell's had to own up to – I mean, he can't tell everybody that that will be the backbone of the program.
So did you guys know – so right now they're ranked 87th in the country. In well, it's one of those special teams metrics. I think it's your FIMRAU guy. Has him at 87. That seems about right, right? 87th in the country. Maybe that seems even a little high.
A little high to me.
I mean,
last year they were 22nd.
Yeah.
Did that seem like the 22nd?
That's why I edited your story. I changed your – because you're in your story, you said it hasn't shown up yet. Any – like development, especially.
Oh, right.
I changed it to this year because last year wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, they blocked
some
kicks. They got.
I guess the block kicks helped. They were early in the year, but they didn't have they didn't have any big returns. But then you look, Norvell's first year at Memphis, they were one in the country. His last year at Memphis, they were number two in the country in special teams by that measurement, by the FIMRAU guy. So he has proven he can get it done.
I don't. Again,
it's odd that it's so bad this year.
We're doing a lot of things here where the personnel shows up, man. But now, I would say that beyond personnel, you're seeing some things on special teams right now.
If you would call, let me ask you a question. If you would caught the ball, Jeff Cameron, 18-year-old Jeff Cameron.
Oh, 18-year-old. Okay.
Not now. No, not, say, what are you now, 59?
I'm 50 years old on the nose.
If you
just turned 50.
Yes.
Yeah, fresh 50.
Yeah, I'm a fresh 50, not even close to 59.
If you had caught the ball where Ja'Kai Douglas caught the ball on that last kickoff, like at the goal line.
Which was like the two?
No, he caught it right at the goal line.
He got to the 15, I believe, right?
Where would you have gotten it if 18-year-old Jeff Cameron's returning that kick
beyond the 15. Now
you would have at least gotten to the 15,
easily,
right? You wouldn't have gone past it.
But here's the thing, because the difference would have been I've been running hard,
right?
Well, but and this is the thing with Ja'Kai that kind of concerns you a little bit is
more
the
like
fact
Ja'Wai. You were returning kicks like that,
and this isn't just to kill that one kid.
Anyone? I mean, I thought that was gold.
The would you still have an apostrophe in Ja'Wai?
Yeah,
you know the frustrating thing I think about that situation, I think why some fans might be extra frustrated, because we saw that from him last year when he returned kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was an issue when he returned kicks last year. Because I remember asking Papuchis then, like, why is, you know, and he's like, no.
Why? Yeah.
But the other thing was, and this part is on coaching to an extent, is he said that, you know, they told him if it's in the end zone to fair catch it. And he said that because he was around the goal line, he wasn't sure. And you could have told him, hey, man,
you can catch it anywhere.
You can catch it at the 9 fair and fair catch it if you want.
Yeah, they changed the rules for safety reasons. Basically, they don't want you to return kicks.
The other issue on special teams, and Corey brought this up yesterday, and when we were interviewing Papuchis, is about just how hard guys are running down on kick coverage, because the one that the guy returned to the 39 that set up their last touchdown, I think, I mean, man, he caught it. I mean, he must have been 5-7 yards deep.
He was
in the
end zone, at least halfway in the end zone.
And it wasn't like he had to elude a bunch of guys inside the 20.
Mm-mm.
So they weren't getting down there real fast.
It was almost like they were running like Janikowski was kicking off, and they knew it was just going to be in the back of the end zone. It was bizarre.
Hey, I don't normally do this, but Till Dog wants to know off the chat here, Ira, will you do a keg stand if we upset North Carolina?
Man, I would do a keg stand back in the day. These days, I might have to have a little help.
No, but I would help you with the keg stand.
Right.
I mean, like, so
I need to, it would be like, I need to have some spotters.
No, I got you, man.
No, everybody has
you
those
spotters.
You
don't have to be a gymnast to do a keg stand. I got you. I'm going to hold the leg. Tom will get your other leg. We got you. You tuck your shirt in. Let's do this thing.
Do we have to film it, or can we just get verbal confirmation?
Is it going to be in here?
Well, no, you're going to be in North Carolina. We can do this at Ira's house afterwards. It doesn't
just
really matter.
Get a keg.
Get a
natty,
keg
natty light keg.
Invite Tom over and we'll all do keg stands.
Not sure I'm doing that video.
No.
Come on, Ira.
You don't want that on the internet.
I dumped champagne on myself on video.
You did.
Straighten your eyes.
Well, I've never done it before.
Clearly. You're just like,
first
right
time
in my eyes.
First time I felt the sting of champagne.
Oh, man. Hey, so nonetheless, maybe a keg stand's necessary. I'll do a keg stand if anybody.
Hey, man, if they beat Carolina, I want to ask you guys. I asked Aslan this on Wake Up War Chain. It's hard to even quantify. It's hard to give an answer. Mm. We watched Jordan Travis play quarterback, and we're like, oh, this doesn't look right. You know what I mean? For a long portion of the game, this doesn't look great. It doesn't flow. Well, he put up 33 on him. Like, you know, and I remember you said after the game in our champagne-soaked celebration, like, the offense basically didn't do much the whole game. And I agreed with you. They still put up 33 points.
It's not that they don't do much, but, man, it is a slog.
It's a slog.
Well, it's like it's 2 3-and-outs and then a huge play.
Yeah.
2 3-and-outs and a huge play. But at the end of the day, he put up 28 against Notre Dame, which nobody else has done. And he put up 33 against Syracuse, which nobody else has done. With a bad offensive line and no receivers. How's it happening? How does this happen?
Well, I would suggest to you get ready to see some games where that doesn't happen at all. Because we thought the easiest part of their schedule was all of these games. And coming up, you have a stretch where besides
UMass. But not the
UMass,
defenses. It's not like you thought these defenses were awful.
We still struggled to block in this game. I don't think that Syracuse team is good. Their schedule's been awful. And so, you know, I do think you'll see them get blown out in some games later on this year. This game was a weird game. I really feel like Florida State could have blown Syracuse out. I know that sounds strange, but when you're up 2 scores and you're receiving the punt and you don't fumble it on your 50 and instead catch that punt, you go down and score, you're going to win going
away. Yeah, Syracuse.
I don't think Syracuse is very good, you know. It's interesting. They do have a couple
guys.
Florida
State doesn't do that. That's not in their DNA.
Well, apparently, can't even catch a punt.
Yeah, well, that's you know something's going to – when they are in control of
the
game.
This was the time. They controlled the entirety of the first quarter. This is another area where I do think it's fair to criticize Adam Fuller and his coaching staff, back into the defense in particular. When teams come out and Florida State gets stops, it doesn't take them long to go to plan 2 or 3 against that defense. And once they hit on something, they do it over and over and over again. And there doesn't seem to be an in-kind adjustment happening real quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times are you going to run that play action with a drag and have that kid be wide the hell open? Or he's just going to keep.
Five in a row.
Or he's just going to keep, and whomever's in at the time, a defensive end is going to crash and allow for him to run 40 yards, 50 yards, whatever it might be.
I'm not to defend Adam Fuller, but there's two parts to that equation. There's one is the coach has to be able to identify it and figure out a plan. And then the other side of it is the kids have to be able to adapt on the fly. Mm. And I think if your players can't, sometimes players need halftime to have those conversations. So, like if you have older players and better players and smarter players, you might be able to make changes during the half.
Yeah, personnel's
sometimes
a problem.
I don't know if you do.
Personnel, linebackers are terrible in the back end. They're all banged up. I got it.
And
in that game in particular,
I asked a couple of questions about it yesterday. You know, you had that, especially the touchdown late. You know, you got Jamie Robinson, who's playing safety, which is not really the position he was brought here for and hasn't played a ton of. Because of necessity, and then at corner, Kevin Knowles is playing corner made his first start. So you have a freshman and a guy kind of playing out of position, and they have a miscommunication. That's not shocking, and that's not necessarily all on coaching. Is all I'm saying.
I'm just noting that the back end hasn't done much all year long. Period. So that's an area of grave concern. And then look, the linebackers aren't very good. They got two guys that they can count on to be decent.
Yeah,
two, and really nobody else at that position. So. Good news is this week, boys, before we go to break, that front four, and I mean this sincerely, should wreak havoc against North Carolina's offensive line, which has been a mess.
He got sacked again five times.
Yeah, they have been a wreck up front. And so the only way you're in this game is to wreak havoc and force turnovers and get him off his spot and get him uncomfortable.
Which is what they did early last year.
Because right now I got to assume he's beginning to see ghosts with the way Carolina's not blocked it up. This has been a tough year for Sam Howell. So there is a fighting chance going into this game that you can get out to a good start. And who knows what happens if they begin to grip, you know? I mean, old Max over there, like, I've never beat my alma mater. Yeah. Here we are losing at halftime. What the hell? What gives? Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey, headliners and elite headliners. It's Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple years ago, we wanted to create and sell headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy. All because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point of sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love most about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up today for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase, and they'll help you grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Go to shopify.com/warchant.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Yeah, so some of the listeners here on Seminole Headlines noting that Duke sacked him five times and Georgia Tech had a fun time against him as well. And I'm talking about how
right.
The linemen they lost and some of the talent they lost on the offensive line that's not led to much continuity.
And I haven't watched them much this year, but
Georgia Tech took it to him.
But his awareness wasn't great last year in the pocket. I mean, as good of a thrower as he is, I thought when Florida State started getting to him, it started affecting him. And I don't know. I mean,
second half he got more aware, and then he started making play after play after play, and luckily some of his guys dropped it. And that saved the day for us a year ago. It is almost unimaginable that Florida State beat North Carolina a year ago.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. Given the team that Carolina had last year. I mean, yeah. You could see somebody beating this Carolina team, and it wouldn't be all that stunning, obviously. But you know, and as I said before the break, I do think they can go up there and play good defense against the run, and all of a sudden, let's see, you know, if they start to panic a little bit. I mean, the pressure's on them to win this game. Florida State is a huge underdog.
I wish it's early in the week. As the week goes on, I'll probably get a chance to watch some more Carolina games. But I don't know what they do with the receiver. He's averaging, he's got 40 catches for like 600 some yards. He's averaging 8 catches a game. And so the idea that if he's in the slot, which I'm guessing,
yeah, he's
there's
going to
be some tough matchups there for
Florida State struggles to match up occasionally. Yeah. There are some matchup troubles for this team moving forward.
Hey, you can't throw it to him if he's on his back the whole game, Ira. Good point. Hear what I'm saying? You feel me?
So we'll bracket that guy, and then somebody else will have a career day.
Yeah, 11 for 210.
Just running across the face. Here you go. Wide open, everybody.
Hey, but the most stunning thing of this entire season is that defense getting essentially two straight stops to end the game.
That stop to end the game was a what for stop. There is a whole lot of chutzpah
to
that
never
stop.
In a million years.
Nope. Nobody thought
you know,
it was
the
coming.
Syracuse OC was thinking, okay, we got to get to the 30 for a field goal. Let's get there with 12 seconds left. Let's work this out. Baber's the same thing. I'm sure Norvell was like, all right, how am I going to answer the questions this week? Like, this is a wrap. Just for them to do that, for them, with everybody thinking, okay, this game, when you had to punt back to them, you're like, this game's, they're going to lose this game on the last play of the game again, or close to it. And then for them to get that stop, you know, I don't think it's going to get them to a bowl. It's not going to spark something like that. But that was good to see. That was good to see from a defense that hasn't done that much
100%.
In 5 years.
Just to know they can do it.
Well, yeah. Also, and to your point, this might strike people as odd given the way we lost to Jacksonville State, but I actually think this would have been the most disabling loss of the year. Had they lost that game, I don't know that we were going to see a lot of fight moving forward from this team. That might have been the straw that broke the back, because I you know, the way that they had played in the second half of the Louisville game, the way that twice they had this game in hand only to kind of give it back, and I think that would have been at home too much to take. I don't know that we would have seen.
I still think it would have been second to Jacksonville State, but a close second.
I know what you're saying there.
But you also factor in the Monday afternoon Norvell thing.
I'm telling you, I don't know. That might have been, well, it's just never going to happen. That it could have been the mindset.
It probably also would have hurt when they realized that Jacksonville State got pounded by Kennesaw State this weekend.
Oh, did they?
31-6 or something like that.
I mean,
it's really struggled to move the ball against Kennesaw.
We don't need to hear
that's a good Kennesaw defense.
Kennesaw State's secondary.
Hey, Kennesaw State's number 20 in the country.
They're just out of that high school realm. But, into that.
So who's the Jacksonville State coach? Do we even remember his name?
Jerry.
Jerry.
He's been there like 10 years.
Is he on the hot seat?
I think he's got a lifetime contract.
Oh, does he? I was going to say, you lose to Florida State, you get shut out by UAB. Or you beat Florida State, you get shut out by UAB. You lose last week to whoever you lost to, and then you get beat down by Kennesaw State. Jacksonville State for me is
too
high and low.
You got to find consistency.
Yeah, there's too much of this.
Schedule's a meat grinder.
Yeah. Too high and low.
Sean says, can we pull a Louisville in matchup against that receiver's knee? Yeah, that's one way to match it up. I'm still angry about that situation.
I was just thinking, I need to go back and watch that play.
Oh, it's awful. It'll piss you off. Really. I mean, it will, just because it stands for all that's wrong. He's completely locked in and engaged, and the kid sees it and goes straight to the knee.
We're talking about the Dennis Briggs injury, and it was announced this week that he's going to miss the rest of the season. How about that? So he takes that hit.
And then plays.
Comes back and plays in the game.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's a season-ending injury.
No, and I'm still mad about it. And I don't know.
What's crazy is that kid, he got a penalty, right?
Yeah they called it.
They called
he's
it.
He's in the game. He stays in the game.
Oh, yeah, but a targeting that's borderline because the full
you're,
speed.
You're
is,
missing
yeah.
a whole half.
No, like the rules are stupid.
That's crazy.
Kicking people out of games.
I wouldn't have any problem with kicking people out of the games for that. You know, you could get a suspension for that because that to me is straight up.
Well, that's career ending.
You're it looks like you're trying to cause an injury. 99% of targeting is like an accident. And
I
think
that's
intent should matter. In that he didn't trip and fall into his knee.
No. Go watch it again. If you dare, because it'll anger you to no end.
Yeah.
And that kid's playing
this week.
I've watched it and I saw it when it happened and went, "Oh." And then saw it again and I thought, A, I would not have been above this. I would have ordered a hit on somebody else's knee. And then B, I mean, that kid should be tossed and gone for the year. But, hey, I'm a little bit of an extremist at this point. But, yeah.
So, in the people you guys have talked to this week, I haven't talked to a lot of FSU fans.
It's only
fans.
Tuesday, buddy.
What are people feeling any better?
I don't think so.
Shanna texted me because Brady had a 14-hour baseball tournament on Saturday.
Sweet Jesus.
So she didn't.
That kid better make it to the bigs.
It's crazy. I
mean, good Christ.
So she didn't watch the game. She didn't know anything about it. So they got home at 9 o'clock, and she had it DVR'd, and she watched it. I wasn't allowed to say anything. And I get this text at 12:15 saying, it's the same old thing. Jordan Travis is the only reason we won this game. Everything else is the same. And I'm like, well, I guess I can't really argue with you there. She's like, it's just Jordan Travis is running around. It's the only reason we won this game.
And that's also maddening to watch.
Yeah, but Syracuse's quarterback running around is the only reason they were in the game.
Yeah. Well, right. It wasn't a nuanced text exchange.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I'm just saying. Like,
I do. And Stephanie
it's
was
two
at
bad
the game.
Teams.
Yeah, but yeah. Stephanie was at the game with her daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said she walked out of the stadium and it was very subdued. Like it wasn't.
Hey, no, it's relief.
Right.
There's just a feeling of relief but that we're not going to go winless, everybody.
She was also at the Notre Dame game, and she said it was much more exciting leaving that game.
I sat in the stands
even
at, Notre Dame
than
game.
Even, but even leaving it after a loss.
Oh, people were
much more jubilant.
They were buoyed
than,
by what they saw.
Than walking out after that game because you thought there if they would have gone out there and hammered them, which is – that's not happening.
I mean, come on.
But if the defense could have built on it a lot instead of just a quarter and then the end of the game – then you do have a little hope, and they just—it was still—it was still a slog.
You know how when you
but
watch
a dub's a dub. You got to celebrate.
It's a win. You got to celebrate a win, especially when you haven't had one in a while, or at all this year. You know when you're watching. We all watch a lot of college football, and in particular because we cover Florida State, we end up watching probably more ACC than we'd like to. Just because
if Florida State's not playing, I'm not watching.
Well, I'm just saying if you're flipping around. Especially if you're going to be playing
especially if it's on the ACC network. You definitely
well, I know. If it's on the ACC network, I'm not watching it. But flipping around, I'll watch some ACC games. We watch Virginia beat Miami and things like that. You're going to watch those games. So a lot of times you'll catch yourself watching a team that either Florida State has coming up the following week or in 2 weeks. And this being the league that it is over the years, you've seen some pretty bad football. Like you'll go, ooh, they just don't have anything. And I mean this. I'm being – no jokes. You're just watching. Let's say it's one of the bad years for Wake Forest because they have these weird years where they're all seniors and they're 30 years old and they're good, and then they're sucked to high heaven for 2 years, and all of a sudden they're good again. They're weird that way, right? So you're watching them like, they've got no speed at receiver. They're thin on the offensive line. That quarterback is the definition of average. They don't have anybody in the secondary that can run. when I watch Florida, but the amazing thing is when you see those teams and you watch them, you're like, oh, I don't know how they're going to win a game. And then, like, 5 weeks into the season, they do. You're like, how did so-and-so lose to
some
that
of them,
team?
Some of them go to bowls.
But you'll go, how did you lose to that team? That's impossible. I've seen them play. Watching us, I feel that way. I'm like, how does anybody lose to this team? And I'm not trying to be an ass. I look at this team, and I'm like, all they have is basically what your ex-wife said.
Yeah.
Which is, Jordan Travis run around and hope like hell something happens.
But what's
and
crazy
that is no way to live, friends.
But Notre Dame hasn't come close to giving up 38 points since that game. They've lost, but they've given up 26 to Toledo, and one of those was a pick six. Like, they still have a very good defense. You put up 38 on them.
Yeah.
You know, how's that happen?
Were able to run the ball against Notre Dame, and that was big. I mean, you had the two big chunk plays. You also hit a home run shot play down the sideline to Chikai.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's what the offense is.
It's just a home run play here and there.
Only come with the one kid at quarterback, it seems. Milton hasn't – they don't – Milton hasn't produced – Helton dropped one, but Milton hasn't produced –
That would have been a touchdown.
Big plays.
The biggest problem, to me, when Milton has played is just so many tackles for loss, whether it's him getting sacked or
him sacking himself.
But with Jordan, at least he avoids those for the most part, at least in this game.
Drop back passing game with either one of them.
Yeah.
It really is your problem. You just don't have it.
Right. And that was one of the things we really expected to see out of Jordan coming into the season. It hasn't happened. The one thing I would say about this season so far, and we talked about the games, the Jacksonville State game to me is the only egregious loss.
Yes. Correct.
Looking back at it now, Wake Forest obviously is a lot better than we expected, a lot better than anybody expected.
Sure.
Louisville's better than I expected. They lost a lot last year, and they're pretty good, man. They you could make the case they should have beat Wake Forest. So they're a better team than we expected, and Florida State's not as good because of, as we said, the quarterback play hasn't been better than we thought. And
they're beat to hell.
And they're,
Not
everybody is like this. This has been unlucky.
Secondary's just half the guys are out every week. Your offensive line, none of them are healthy. Like, they're going out there, but none of them are healthy.
No,
what are they doing?
They've been very, very unlucky. I mean, injury luck is just that.
Are they in a fight club after
we don't
after
know
practice
about?
That we don't know about? And they're just taking lead pipes to each other?
Wrestling?
I mean, what are they doing?
No, they have been really unfortunate when it comes to injuries. And, I mean, that's just... You can never – the timing of that, you never know what's going to happen. I mean,
well, and especially if it's a cluster, and they've had a couple of clusters.
That's a good way to describe everything.
It's one thing to get injuries. You know, you're going to have injuries.
Yeah.
But when two or three happen at a position, it becomes a big deal. And that's why you end up playing some of the guys they've had to play. I mean, like in that game last week, again, this is why I'm not that – I wouldn't judge the secondary so much on that game. And they only gave up 150 passing yards. It's not like they got shredded. But you also had Kevin Knowles making his first start. Jamie Robinson playing a new position. Jarquez McMillian was out there.
Yeah.
I like when you call him McMillian.
McMillian, McMillian.
Yeah, and people were like, who's that kid?
Yeah, Pac-Man.
Who is that kid?
Yeah. He needs to get better so we can just call him Pac-Man.
Did anybody know that he was on the team?
I mean, he hadn't played much. He played like four plays. But he actually
he played a lot.
Made some flash
plays. No, I'm saying, but in that game, I guarantee you people in the stands were like,
who's 15?
Who the hell is that kid?
Yeah.
And why is he out there?
And that was kind of what I was asking for. It's like they've had so many different combinations. I mean, Keem Dent hasn't played the last 2 weeks. Not that he's a superstar, but he actually
Renardo Green didn't play.
It's just a weird group in that secondary with all the different things.
Kayvon writes, even Corey has sustained injuries this year. When will the nightmare be over?
Yeah, man, it's even getting to the media.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. Obviously, you guys are locked in to Seminole Headlines right here on 93.3 FM Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV if you're watching it and you're listening to the podcast, housedbywarchant.com, of course. We have to make mention of our friends at Horizon Bar and Grill. We were just there. The reason I paused, I was trying to think of the exact day. That was last Friday.
Friday night, yeah. Speaking
Friday
of housing, I housed that burger.
You did.
I housed it.
Got after it.
It was a mushroom
like
and
never
Swiss.
Eaten.
It was incredible. It really was. I don't think I'd had a burger there before. I had everything else.
I
went for the burger.
It was tacos that I always
that's
get.
That's what you do.
Always.
Did you guys do an app?
Got hummus. Mm-hmm. You know, in hummus, I love, I'm not a big fan of hummus, but I love their hummus. But in retrospect, hummus is great. I don't know why I veered away from the mac and cheese bites. You just those are the ones you go for.
Well, they're undefeated.
They don't lose.
Well, it's kinda, I think you might want to step away just to remember how great they are.
Yeah, and that's no shot at the hummus, because the hummus is the best hummus I've ever had. That's a high bar to clear.
It's going
to
be a great year at Horizons Bar and Grill, by the way, because we're going to be going over there, have a little get-together before the season starts. But also that setup, if you've not been there, has a gazillion televisions, a big old bar, an outdoor patio.
Great patio area with the couches and stuff. It's great, man.
Great part of town on northeast side of Tallahassee. You take Thomasville Road up to Bannerman. It's in Bannerman Crossing. It's a great little development there with a lot of other restaurants and great people. And you might run it. Might bump into Corey Clark having some hummus.
Yeah, some headlines.
Or me.
Headlines.
Ira goes too. Yeah, we could all do it. Good stuff.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
This is a good one to start the segment with. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you. Afternoon, gents, is what he writes. Thanks for making my Tuesday bearable. Go Noles. Hang in there, Jason. Thanks for the contribution as well.
Thank you, Jason.
We should spend the remaining minutes of the hour just talking about Urban Meyer.
Oh, I'm down with
that. Is that what he asked about?
No.
Oh.
But it's freaking awesome.
It is incredible.
And by the way, the reverse image is a glorious thing. Like the new images that are coming out. Because at first it looks innocuous. You're just kind of like, that's not a good look.
Innocuous?
I'm saying it's not a good look.
What?
Hey, hold on. Hold on. His hand. You're
buying innocuous for
me. No. He shouldn't be where he is. That's a given. But the one angle just looks like his hands are like by his pocket. I saw, the only still I saw was his hands were by his pockets. Now I have since seen several angles that his hands are not by his pockets at all. And there's one from the side where his hands are really actively engaged. Yeah. Let's put it that way. So I was thinking about how tough a spot he's in, because if you're trying to get fired, that's a good way to do it. And I think he's probably trying to get fired. That way they have to pay him something. And then B, you want to do that without getting divorced and losing half your money. That's tough, Ira.
He should have
just done a line of coke or something on camera like some of the NFL coaches have done in the past.
On the sideline. No, I don't think this was intentionally. You can find other ways to get fired.
My point is subconsciously, Ira. He's wanted out of there since day one. Right. Look at him. And look at these press conferences. They're insane.
I think it's more likely that he was just blitzed and wasn't thinking and did what he probably would normally be doing.
He's a terrible human being, and he reveals it around every turn, and it's a miracle that people continue to give him jobs, at TV or otherwise, and act like he is unquestioned leader of men.
Yeah. This is like number 11 on the worst things about Urban Meyer. You know what I mean?
There's
a lot of even worse, much worse things than this. Harboring people he harbored, the wide receivers coach that he employed forever.
Maybe Urban could teach. He used his hand skills to teach 87 how to block.
Wow.
Come on, guys. Come on. Cam McDonald's a good kid. Good kid. That would have been a nice block to have. But, it's just crazy to be Urban Meyer, to be one of the 10 most recognizable coaches in the sport, and just hanging out at a college bar, feeling up people and not thinking.
Well, the big thing is to be as famous as he is and not think for a millisecond that everybody in there is taking pictures and filming you.
What are you doing, dude? He had to have been blitzed.
But even blitzed, you know who you are.
Well, right? You can get to a point especially when you're in blitzed, Ohio, then you don't really know a whole lot of anything.
It also tells me he doesn't have anybody who can call a real friend. He doesn't have a real friend.
Right. That's no, for sure. The idea that somebody, he was in there.
He was by himself, right? It looked like.
I mean, who knows?
He didn't have a crew with him. He wasn't rolling deep with the crew like we rolling into quarterback.
You got to have a guy at the moment that you realize your boy is blotto, be like, hey, man, we got to take it on down the road. Let's go. There's people out here taking pictures.
She can come with us, but we can't
let her leave 2 minutes later.
When is that interview coming? Like, how has TMZ not found her? The money's being thrown.
It's being worked out right about now.
We're in negotiations right now before we get that side of the story.
Yeah, that's a – man – I didn't know, like, I was not paying attention at all to the internet. I guess, was it Sunday night? Or when was that? Or was it Saturday?
I think it came out Saturday night, right?
Saturday
but it happened
night.
Friday night?
It happened Friday after night after their Thursday game.
Yeah.
What happened after their game?
Oh, so it was Thursday night. He just didn't go home.
Yeah. No, that's not Thursday night. Oh, man, you didn't do it
right,
after
right, Friday night. You're right.
Now,
right,
that would have been insane.
That would have been crazy. No, I'm right. tired of all this Steve losing.
Yeah, you're right. Friday night. So it came out Saturday.
Yeah. So because I didn't see it. I wasn't paying attention. I thought people were just doing the typical thing. Like,
you were still reveling in the victory.
I was celebrating a victory. I wasn't going to get distracted by that loser Urban Meyer. And then secondly, I just saw his name coming up. And because he's one of the world's biggest a-holes, I just assumed he said something stupid like he usually does. I didn't know that there was something much more salacious involved until Sunday. Really, even Monday morning. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is not a good thing. You could get fired.
You need to be on Twitter more. That's the answer.
I can't do
that's,
that.
Yeah. That's the solution.
Yep. Yeah. That's where all your answers come from.
But it was a good it was a good weekend for Schadenfreude, man. It was a good weekend.
So it started that way with Miami losing right off the bat.
On a kick. On a missed kick, by the way.
Let's talk about that situation. So, I mean, Manny's going to have a hard time coming back. I mean,
sure. You know,
there's likely going to be a change there.
If they care.
In Florida. So, somebody posted this. I couldn't believe
one
it.
One in five.
In their last six Power 5 games.
What
Power
is that?
They're 1-5 in
Dan
the last
Mullen's
six
Dan Mullen's
1-5
against his last six games against Power 5 teams.
Now, it's a good game.
Well, I was going to say, isn't that like Alabama?
Yeah, but that's but it's LSU. It seems that they're supposed to be.
Hold on. All right. 2-4 right here, baby. 2-4 sure. against Power 5 teams. All right. 1-5, my man.
All right. Well, yeah, but that's like Alabama twice, right? Who'd they lose to in the bowl game? Who'd they lose? They played somebody in the bowl game and lost. Because they didn't have half
Oklahoma.
Their players. They didn't have half their
was
players.
Was it Oklahoma?
Maybe. Or Oklahoma State.
But they just lost.
Well,
to,
it's not great. Yeah. Well, I mean, they lost to Kentucky. Yeah. But they're not. But,
that's
but,
not.
Hey.
That's not. Oh, Kentucky is.
Every 30 years or so,
yeah.
Florida's going to go to Lexington and lose.
Hey, man. Are you making apologies for Dan Mullen?
Yeah.
What are you doing over here?
I don't want karma to come back and bite us as we make fun of a.
It can't. We're what are you talking about?
We're on the ground.
It just won their first game.
We're bleeding out. You're right.
I mean, they haven't been good in 4 years.
You're right.
This is time to stand up to karma.
My point though is that also he hates it there. They hate him. I mean, he put his name out there for a million jobs. Last offseason, and now he's got a team that is not playing well. He's got the quarterback controversy. So I don't know what the odds are that he's going to be back there. But they may not be super high. And then the Manny situation, if somehow Norvell could figure out something and they could get on the right track.
Traction, baby. I keep yelling about traction.
There is a window here. And that's generally what has to happen.
So are you saying Norvell has the firmest hold on a coaching job out of the three?
Not saying that at all. I'm just saying
there is
a window of opportunity if you can figure crap out.
Well, that's what Jimbo got to do, right?
Right.
Like that's how he built a dynasty. Well, it wasn't a dynasty, was it? It was a very short blip. But he built
nice run.
He built a championship team because Miami was Miami and Florida was Florida at that time.
Manny Diaz is 16-13 as a head coach at Miami. He's 16-13.
And like,
But what was the guy before him?
Right. So the point would be they could start over. I don't know if they will. I mean, I don't think Manny Diaz is a good coach, but they could want to wait one more year to find out. I guess. Norvell's going nowhere. I actually think he probably does have the best job security currently.
He's
not going anywhere.
Well, Mullen has Mullen's the best job security, but he might not want to stick around.
They're not going to fire him, but I would say this.
It could make it untenable.
Yeah, and if, again, there are a lot of people in that athletic department that don't like him at
Powerful
all.
Powerful people.
Did not want
it's
him
funny,
to get the
It's funny, the
job.
Regular Florida fans, if you will, like Dan Mullen. Right. The upper crust Florida, the Bull Gators, and the administrators, they are not fans of Dan Mullen because he says a bunch of dumb things on the regular.
Well, and the thing, and it was kind of the same way with Jimbo, right? For different reasons, but the people that really knew Jimbo did not like him mainly as a person behind the scenes. But he was winning a lot more than going 1-5 against six Power 5 teams like Dan Mullen. Like, you can't be that weird in that. I don't even know how to describe Dan Mullen. Just awkward and strange and bizarre.
But it's not just being awkward, because awkward's one thing. It's awkward and also an ass in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
I think lit a spark for the fight on the sidelines. He's done a lot of things.
He wore the stupid Darth Vader thing. He's just a goofball, and he's hard to like. He's unlikable, and on top of that, he's not winning maybe at the rate that you can get away with stuff like that.
So he went 8-4 a year ago. But obviously 11-2 the year before.
But
that.
Think about the talent they had on that team, man.
Oh yeah, they had a generational
tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
Trask is a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, you're not going to have a lot. There's not going to be a lot of years with a lot of better talent than that.
They do have a freak in Anthony Richardson who, if they start playing him and he's healthy, I could be a different speaker in a lot of games.
Dug in with Emory Jones.
That's just crazy thing to be dug in with. I think I would probably start to look the other way at this point. I know he's a freshman, but that is a freak of nature. And I'm not looking forward to seeing him. And
well, maybe he'll transfer.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Here.
You could transfer here.
Yeah, make that happen.
They'll run. I mean, again, we have ways to make things happen, to facilitate things. Norvell will be like, look, I'll play you, man. I'll play you if you're hurt.
The game you were asking about, they lost the Cotton Bowl last year. And before that, and so anyhow, the point is that they were 11-2, 6-2 in conference the year before that under Dan Mullen, 10-3 the year before that, 5-3 in the conference. Second place. And then,
so he's won 29 games in 3 years?
He is. Yeah, if you count bowls, he's 32-11.
All right, 32-11
is
pretty good.
It's okay,
pretty good, especially where he took over from. It's, you know,
well, they weren't at the bottom when he got there.
No, but they were. They had just fired their second coach in 4 years.
He's 32-11. Let's not make that sound like that's elite.
All right,
he's averaging.
You're comparing it to Florida State.
Yeah,
well, absolutely.
No, that's what you're. Yeah, I mean, he's losing a little over three games a year. That's not great. You're at Florida, dude.
If we could get there,
that'd be nice. I'm not arguing that.
That was the point Jeff used to make at the time when Jimbo was losing three games a year. It's like, man, this
I used to crush Jimbo for that. I'm like, what are we doing out here losing three games
a year?
Remember,
I used to tell him.
It could be worse.
That's great. Well, no, he's like, if he keeps losing three games a year, he won't have a job. I'm like, well, that's not true. He can go 10-3 in perpetuity.
No,
he can't fire a 10-3 coach forever.
Nonsense.
I mean, if he goes 10-3 forever, you can't fire him.
Sure, you could. You could fire him very easily, especially it depends on who the losses are to.
I do think also
you're a school who expects championships, sorry, Ira.
No.
At some point, especially if you've won a championship, which he had, and you're recruiting at a championship level, which prior to him giving up, he had been. You can't go out there. That's why Rick got fired.
Well, no. Mark Richt had some 6-7 years and some 8-5 years. It wasn't 10-3 throughout. I'm saying if Kirby could lose a couple times this year. He's not on the hot seat. A couple times next year, he's not on the hot seat.
No. Couple. If he goes 10-3 with those recruiting classes over the next 3 years, they're going to want to fire him.
They might want to, but it ain't happening.
They should fire him. They should fire his ass.
I don't like what I'm seeing out of that crew.
I'm going to tell you something. You can't lose three games a year. Those recruiting classes to Georgia are insane.
Well, hey, man.
That's why we're looking
at
it.
It's hard to win college football games.
Not when you have better players every week.
I mean, Mark Richt's.
Yeah, man, it wasn't what Kirby's doing.
I mean, you said he's had some 5-6 wins. I mean, the last year he was there was 9-3, 10-3 before that, 8-5 before that, 12-2, 10-4.
Yeah,
but back 5-6 years before there was a 6-7.
Right.
But 2 years before that was 10-3, 11-2. But I mean, the year he got forced out, he was 9-3.
Yeah, well, it turned out to be it turned out to be a good decision.
Well, fire 10-3 coaches easily.
Well, right.
If expectations are that you win a national championship and you have the number one or two recruiting class every single season and you go out and lose three games a year, no, man.
I feel like now we've lived through what we've lived through the last 5 years.
No, you're lowering.
I'm just telling you, they have been lowered. No. If Mike Norvell went 10-3 for 7 straight years, he is not getting fired.
But things change. Your perspective changes at that point.
Yeah.
We'll be mad. We'll be like, this is crazy.
What if every year two of the three losses are to Miami and Florida?
That means you're crushing the ACC.
Oh, man, get the hell out of here with that.
You're beating Pitt.
That means you're losing to Clemson,
game.
And then you're losing to Miami and Florida.
Clemson. He might own Clemson. We don't know. Man. He never gets to play them.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Two things can be true at the same time, my friend. I desperately want a 10-3 season.
Okay,
I'd
right.
like to cover a 10-3. We have covered 10-3 seasons. I'd like to do it.
We
again.
Did not appreciate them in the moment.
They're not all built the same way.
Again, to the point he made before, and I'm not trying to continue the argument. We can move on. But like, if you're 10-3 and your three losses are against the really good teams, it's not a lot of fun, man.
Especially if you've got better players every week. You can't just. I mean, look. It's one thing to lose a bunch of games with this sorry crop of kids that we've got playing this year.
No offense.
Good kids, I'm sure. But if you have the better players week in and week out, and then the one or two or three times you play somebody that has players akin to yours, you lose. Do that 3 years in a row and see how quickly people get ready to fire a coach.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that you could be ready for him to go. That does not mean that the decision makers can be like, that's enough. That's 8 losses in 3 years. We can do better. That just... In the modern era of college football,
I think depending on what the budget is for football, what the expectations are for football, and what the talent level is that you have.
Because what does happen, and again, not that Jimbo was nowhere near in the going to get fired at any point.
Because he's about to lose his third in a row.
But what I was going to say, though, is that you could see the attendance. They 2014, they sold out season tickets.
Yeah.
From 2015 through 2017 is last year, attendance got worse and worse and worse. I mean, season tickets went down, attendance went down.
Fans are challenging to fight.
Imagine if they had gone back the next year to 2018.
Oh, no, again, he challenged the fan to the fight.
All I'm saying is people were felt strong enough about him to yell down to him walking off the field.
Yeah, fire your coaches. Yeah. And if you go into the next year, what would season ticket sales have been? You know what I'm saying?
Good.
So it's not. I get what you're saying. It wouldn't merit firing, but a situation gets stale, and then it leads to other issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's at very few places where that's even possible. If
you think that's possible here now, if Norvell gets this
right
thing back,
now.
No, of course not right now. Do you think it's possible at Florida State in the next 10 years, if Norvell gets this thing going, that people will turn on him if he goes 10-3 for 4 years in a row? He'll get this place to a point.
Perspective changes, yeah, man. I could see it.
And again, who you
even
lose
with
to,
the but again, even with what but, we know now, because we had never lived through this. He was saying stuff in 2016 that you had no idea in 16. How could any of us? That they would go in a 4-12 streak.
But I knew that was untenable. What was happening was untenable.
No, I'm not talking about Jimbo. I'm talking about you saying keep losing 3 games a year and they'll get rid of you. That was in that was 2016, Jeff Cameron talking.
Yes, yes.
2029, Jeff Cameron talking.
No, because
you
live
through this now.
So I'm supposed to be just forever grateful that we can win 10 games again at Florida State? I'll be grateful when it happens for the first time in forever. Because thank God it means we've turned it back around and now we can have legitimate expectations of winning a conference championship and playing in the college football playoff, which at this school is ultimately the standard.
Right.
Now, it's not the standard at Wake Forest. They're not going to fire.
It's not the standard at Miami anymore.
No. I don't want to get to a point where if we win 10 games, that is to be celebrated in a way that means you can never be questioned. Like, that's it. You just go ahead and win 10 games every year, and we'll never question you again.
I don't even know what we're arguing about. You're saying never be questioned. Of course you'd question it. I'm saying you're not going to fire somebody that wins 10 games a year 5 straight years. You're just not. Not at Florida State.
Yep.
Not now. Yep. Not after we've lived through this abyss of despair and loneliness.
It's
tumbleweed rolling around us.
This stretch has means for you.
It's forever
that Florida
altered.
State in perpetuity cannot be an elite program.
No.
And should not aspire to be one.
That's not what
I'm saying. You are. What the hell? You might as well just go 9-3, 9-10-3, whatever.
But just because somebody's gone 10-3 3 years in a row doesn't mean they can't go 13-0 the next year.
If somebody goes 7 years in a row in your example, it does. They're not winning 13 games.
Maybe.
7 years in a row, I'm telling you, guessing
the
13.
The
well, you threw
you're
seven
number eight.
Out there. I mean,
yeah, that's fair. I'm saying if he gets it to a point where he's winning 10 games consistently, 3 or 4 years in a row.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be great. I'd like to get there, especially from where we sit currently.
By
agreed.
Year six, you'd be like, all right, Mike, can we take the next step?
Yeah.
Have you gotten us to this limit?
Yes, I'm saying there is a time and place where you would begin to question
like
whether
Ira
or not.
Like Ira is with Leonard Hamilton. Like, you know he can get you to the Sweet 16, but maybe you need somebody else to get him to the Final Four.
And also, this is more nuanced than we're making.
And is this going to happen at A&M, by the way? Are they having these conversations at A&M
right
now? They
ought to
now?
Be.
They're furious.
I mean,
are
they
really?
Be,
I haven't been on their boards.
Yeah, they're furious.
How could they not be?
Well, that was
that's
bad.
Music. We'll worry about it.
That was
argue
a bad
during
loss.
The break. Hour number 2, forthcoming. Hang it.